Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is Monday, December 18th, 2017. My name is Rudy Zablocki. I'm just a truck driver from Bartlett, Illinois. And tonight we're being heard on blogtalkradio.com/NoBetterWay. We're just 1 week from celebrating, in my opinion, the greatest gift to mankind. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was born of a virgin, as the scriptures foretold, born to save the world from its sin. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, it reads, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The Lord will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And my dear brothers and sisters, the Word of God tells us, it also tells us where our Savior was born. So we read in the Old Testament book of Micah, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it reads, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Amen. And if you look at the footnotes at the bottom of the page, it refers to ancient times, meaning from the days of eternity. So my dear friends, Jesus being described as the eternal one from ancient times, he was born of a virgin. He was born into our broken, sinful world. Jesus came down from heaven. He came down from the right hand of the Father, and he became a man, obeying the will of the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, out of love for humanity, he came down off his throne to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Jesus would spend 33 years doing the will of the Father, proclaiming the gospel, crying out. His first word of his ministry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And he would proclaim the good news of the gospel. And he would do miracles. He would turn water into wine at the wedding of Cana. He would heal the sick. He would cast out demons from those that were demon-possessed. He would raise the dead. He would even raise his friend Lazarus after being in the grave for 4 days. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he would raise Lazarus. He would show his divinity. He would show that, yes, he was the Son of God. And yet he also was a man. He lived a human life. He experienced the pains that we experienced. He saw the brokenness of the world that he was sent there to fix. He wept over his friend Lazarus as he laid in the grave, and he saw all the people mourning and weeping, and he also wept alongside of them. So this Jesus, Son of God, also was human. He had compassion. He even cried over the whole town of Jerusalem because he knew one day that town, as much as many of them loved him, and on Palm Sunday they worshiped him, they proclaimed him as their Messiah, yet just a few short days later, they would arrest him, scourge him, beat him, nail him to a cross, put him to death. The same people of Jerusalem. He wept over them because He loved them, and he wanted all of them to know about the true kingdom of God, and that was through faith in him, faith in Jesus Christ. And the one thing that amazed people, when Jesus would, when he would proclaim the word of God, he did it with authority, not like other prophets, not like other rabbis. He did it with authority. And if someone asks, who is Jesus that he has such authority? I mean, is he just a prophet? No, you could start by reading the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So John, chapter 1, verse 14, is telling us that the Word of God became flesh. Jesus is the Word, and he is God. These are pretty awesome words, folks. So as we start tonight's show, the thing we're talking about as we think about Christmas and where Christmas has taken the world, kind of distracted us away from the true meaning of Christmas. And there's one gift that I want to talk about, this gift of Jesus. In my opinion, again, the greatest gift that anyone could receive is the gift of Jesus, because he offers more than anything this world can offer. He offers eternal life. Faith in him, faith in Jesus as your Messiah. You come to him with a repentant heart, a broken heart, knowing you're a sinner. Romans 3:23, I always talk about that verse, one of my favorites, folks. Romans 3, verse 23, it says, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? So we all need a Savior. You know what? We can put together a resume of all the good things we've done. And I'm sure a lot of us, we've done quite a few good things. You know, we could start out saying we were a good son to our parents, a good brother or a good sister to our siblings. We were a good husband or wife. We were a good friend to our friends. We were generous. We've done all these good things. Put together an awesome resume. And all you have to do is have one page, list your sins, whether they're small or big. You know, it might be you might have stole, you might have lied, disobeyed your parents. You might have cursed, profaned, took the Lord's name in vain. Put your list of sins. If there isn't an empty sheet, if you have sinned, just one sin, you stand guilty before God. And you do need a Savior. And that's why God the Father has sent his Son. In my opinion, the greatest gift to humanity. And so as we go on tonight, as we talk about Jesus, this great gift to humanity given by the Father. And it was foretold. You know, the people in the Old Testament knew of a coming Messiah. They were awaiting him. It was told that hundreds of years before that Jesus would be born of a virgin in a town of Bethlehem. He would be of ancient or eternal times, which was pointing to Jesus of an existence before he came a baby, a child in the manger. A lot of people like to say that Jesus had a beginning. He was born of Mary, and that was his beginning. But if you read God's word, no. In the book of Micah, it points to a Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, of ancient times, which points to eternity, as the Bible points to. So we can't say that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, and that was his beginning. No, this gift from the Father. His Son sat on the right hand of the Father. He was on the throne room in heaven. And he stepped down and became a man. He was the Son of God. What did John the Baptist say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. right? Have mercy on us. So when Jesus came to be baptized at the Jordan, John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, he was preparing the way for Jesus. He proclaimed him the Lamb of God. And what was in the Jewish time, lambs were used to sacrifice for the blood of the lamb to shed. The shed blood was for the sins of the people. So John the Baptist was proclaiming Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And back in the day, during Jesus's, right before his birth, the religious people of those times, they were aware that there was a king to come. There was a Savior who was to come to save its people of their sins, to rescue them, to be their Messiah. So over 2,000 years ago, folks, God the Father sent a gift to the world, a precious gift. Because this gift would be a gift that was sent to the cross, a gift that would shed blood, that would pay for the price of our sins. And here we are on a week from Christmas, and I'm talking about the cross. But isn't that the purpose of his birth? He was born, ever since Jesus was born, born in a manger, right? Born of Virgin Mary. Ever since he was born to die for our sins. And what does John 3:16 say? The famous verse, the football verse. I remember years ago, you'd see the crazy rainbow-haired, goofy-looking guy, and he put up the sign, John 3:16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And I'll go on and read 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." Amen. So my dear brothers and sisters, we all have been given a great gift. And there are many in the world that are aware of Jesus. And they know the story. They know the story of Jesus born in a manger, right? Because there was no room in the inn. They know the story that he lived on earth for 33 years. Many people know that story. Yep, they know it. They've seen movies about Jesus. They know that he performed miracles. They know that he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cast out demons. And they know that he was nailed to a cross. He was beaten brutally, right? Lashed 39 times. His skin, his muscle, his whole back was just shredded. He barely had energy to carry the cross. And and his journey would lead him to the cross at Calgary. And people know that story. They know that he died. And they heard the story of Jesus resurrecting on the third day. And many people know that story. And they've ran away from whatever belief or faith they had as a child or as a young man or woman. They've ran away from it. Maybe the church has wronged them. Maybe they've done something to discourage them or just make them just say, the church is a bunch of hypocrites. I've had it. I'm out of here. I'm on my own. And many are that way now. They know the story, yet they're on their own. But I want to say that there are times where that Holy Spirit will knock on their hearts. Revelation 3:20, another of my favorite verses. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens that door, I will come in and dine with him and him with me." So Jesus, there are moments in your life where he will knock at the door of your heart. And the thing is, if you look at that portrait, where Jesus is knocking at the door, and that's the door of your heart, you won't see a handle on the outside. There is no handle to that door. And the reason is because Jesus is not going to knock that door down. He's not going to barge his way into your heart. No, there's a handle on the inside. So you have to open that door to your heart. And I pray that tonight, as you start to get close to Christmas, as you make your preparation for Christmas dinner, for a gathering of your family and maybe friends, as you gather and have a few cocktails or whatever beverage you may enjoy, have a wonderful meal, that somewhere in that whole realm of things, that there's space in your heart. You know, as we read the story in the Gospel of Matthew talks about there was no room in the inn. And I'd like to say, just like there was no room in the inn and Jesus Christ was born in a manger, maybe that's the same thing with many people today. They don't have any room in their hearts. There's no room. Well, I pray, you know what? You've got a couple of cluttered rooms in that heart of yours. And you know what? You're going to clean it out. You're going to set up a nice bed in a beautiful area to receive Jesus as that gift that the Father had sent 2,000 years ago, and that gift that's still available to all of us today. So I pray that the Holy Spirit moves you, and that today, if you've ran away from God, and I understand, I did the same thing. I lost my father when I was 14. I begged the Lord to save him, to heal him. And my father passed away, and I couldn't imagine living a life without my dad. And so I ran away from God, and it was a good 25 years before I gave my heart back to the Lord. And it was the best decision I ever made. I know I talked to my son David so many times. I says, that's one decision or one thing in their life that no one will ever regret when they give their heart to Jesus, you know, and they're going to live a life following him. Seeking his ways, his will, right? Reading the word, looking for guidance, right? Looking for wisdom, looking for peace, right? That Jesus offers a peace that surpasses all human understanding. We're looking for all these things in our life. And we give our life to the Lord, give our life to Jesus, seek his ways, his will, and that one day, like I said before, with talking to my son, you'll never regret the decision you make to give your heart to Jesus. And it's a process. It's a transformation. When you become a Christian, when you open that gift, when you open that gift of salvation, that gift where you repent of your sins, you realize you're a sinner, you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you open the door of your heart and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I mess up a lot. I know I'm going to continue to mess up. We're all sinners, but I want to follow your ways, Lord, because this world, there's a proverb, I think it's chapter 14, verse 12, where it says, man's ways seem right to him, but in the end, it leads to death. So you may walk in a way that seems right to you, and you may walk in a way that you're doing a lot of good things, and you're helping people, and you're being very unselfish and very generous, yet you've got to get one thing right, you know, and a lot of people don't want to hear it because they think that just being good is enough. It's not enough. The only thing that's enough is Jesus. If you can say that all I have is Jesus, then that's enough. No matter where your life's at, Jesus is enough. So, and so I'll just kind of wrap things up here before we go on and take a little break with a song. All I want to say is this world and all the things it has to offer you, even those that are in the bioscience world with the transhumanism research and everything, they're seeking eternal life outside of faith in Jesus. They're trying to find eternal life living in their sin. And I'm going to say right now that all those efforts will be futile. They'll be thwarted by the Lord Almighty. And so all I want to say that after all these years, approximately 2,000 years, God has been so gracious, so kind, so merciful to offer the most precious gift to humanity, eternal life, through faith in Jesus Christ. And I love the words. I watched the movie Case for Christ. It's a story about an atheist coming to faith in Jesus. Lee Strobel was the Tribune, Chicago Tribune reporter that comes to faith. And anyway, there's a verse in that movie. I love these words, and it's in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Be born of God. That means born through the power of the Holy Spirit, opening your heart. You become born again. For those who are in Christ, what is it, 2 Corinthians? I want to say 5:17. For those that are in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. Amen. So the greatest treasure, folks, has not come from this world, this earthly realm, this broken world we live in. All the stuff, all the riches, all the power. The greatest treasure has come from the throne room of heaven, from heaven. And that heavenly treasure is Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world. So let me wrap it up, folks. So what I want to say is, when you look under your tree this Christmas, maybe you can make just one more little gift. You know, maybe it's just a little letter that you write to the Lord, just a little, maybe a beautiful golden box. And you look under your tree and you've got this little golden gift. Let that be the most beautifully wrapped gift under the tree. And that box represents the eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to read the verse I quoted earlier, and we'll wrap things up and take a little break. And that's, again, from the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, which reads, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Amen. And to that I say amen. Amen. Let's take a little break. Again, the title of tonight's show, God, Jesus, the Greatest Gift. All right, first song I'm going to play is probably familiar with it. Came out maybe a good dozen or so years ago. It's called "Mary, Did You Know?" Hope you enjoy. Be back in a couple of minutes, folks. Little baby, you kiss the face of
everybody from our house to yours.
I like that song. Mary, did you know when you kiss the face of your baby, you kiss the face of God? Mary, did you know that your baby is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby would calm the storm, heal the sick? I think as Mary, she was given such an honor to give birth to the Lord of all creation, the Savior of the world, she came to know who Jesus was, saw that he was the Son of God, and that she was given this honor, and also the pain of seeing her son be brutally murdered on the cross. So Mary was given so much, yet she also would have her heart pierced. And just a great song to reflect on. I just have to say, God works in mysterious ways. I mean, you know, the story written, I mean, it has been written. The Bible has been written. This story, I mean, this is God's ways, and sometimes our ways would not be as his. You know, as a human, we tend to be more judgmental. We don't have the same kind of mercy that he has. But talking about tonight, folks, what a great gift, the greatest gift ever. Jesus was given as a gift to the world by his Father, sent down from the throne room of heaven to be born as a baby, to live as a human like all of us, to experience the pains of living on earth, you know, and the laughter also. He, you know, his friendships with his apostles. And so that was God's plan. And, you know, the thing that's so cool is the thing about it, it's so simple. It's a simple, the gospel is simple. Right, I mean, to know the whole Word of God is a process that takes a lifetime, but just the simple gospel message of the cross, to believe in Jesus as your Savior, to realize your sinfulness and to confess, to repent and ask Him into your heart, it is simple. I mean, simple for a child to understand, you know. Yet things that we'll never understand till we get to heaven. And to that I say, that's God's ways, his plan. I did text my son. I know it's Christmas time. He's probably got a lot going on at church. My son David is a youth pastor in Conda, Illinois, LifeBridge Church. If you're ever up that way, they've got a couple of Sunday services. I want to say the first one's at 8, and then he's got a 10:15 service. And don't quote me on that, but it's pretty good estimate of the time. And then there's a Bible study between the services, which would be approximately around 9. So if you're ever up that way, visit the LifeBridge Church in Wakanda, right off of Highway 176 and Route 12, just west of Route 12. They'd love to have you there. They'd love to have you visit. And, hopefully he'll find some time to call in. Again, tonight's title, Jesus, the greatest gift ever. And to that I say, amen. I'll give you the phone number. I'd love to have you call in. The number is 347-989-0095. And if you've got a question, I'll do my best to answer. You know, like I say, I'm just a truck driver. I know a little bit about the Bible. So if you've got a question, or maybe, you know, tough time for you, Christmas time. A lot of you people have lost some loved ones or illnesses in the family or yourself. I'd love to pray for you. Again, that number, 347-989-0095. And if you want to text a question, 630-674-4960. If we got a little time, I want to read This is in the Gospel of Luke. I want to read a couple of readings, some Christmas readings. And let's just start with the birth of Jesus. I mean, here we're a week away. Why not, right? And then I did want to read about Simeon, the faithful servant Simeon, which I'll read after that. And in the meantime, I hope to get some calls here. All right, let's read. This is out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And I'm going to just go up to the point where it talks about the shepherds and the angels. This is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So that's the birth of Jesus, the account in the Gospel of Luke. And I want to do another reading. He's one of my favorite people in the Bible because of his faithfulness, because he knew of a coming Messiah, and he waited, right? And his man was an elderly man in his older years. And this is going to be when Jesus was presented in the temple. It was Jewish law that on the eighth day that you would bring your male child to be circumcised. So I'll read. This is also in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 21. Jesus presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." there also was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. Wonderful readings. I don't know if you caught, but when Simeon was talking, he said that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, that through Jesus, he'll reveal those that were faithful, who come to faith in Christ, and there will be those like the Pharisees who plotted. They had evil, wicked intent. They actually were, I would say, they were almost possessed by, they were possessed by the devil, that they wanted to put to death the Son of God. And so the thoughts in the hearts of many were revealed, some for the good, some for the bad. Remember Nicodemus, the story of Nicodemus in the Gospel of John chapter 3, where Jesus tells Nicodemus he must be born again. Nicodemus was one of the, he was part of the ruling elite, the ones that were familiar with the law of God, that loved God, were seeking to serve him. Yet Nicodemus, his heart was revealed because he loved God and he was seeking the truth. And Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not born again of your mother, but born again of the Spirit, of water and Spirit. And so hearts were revealed through Jesus Christ. And it also said, Simeon tells Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. So Mary would be brokenhearted because she would have to experience the death of her son. A brutal death indeed. And that brutal death was God the Father's gift to us. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later was the gift to mankind, to humanity, and to all sinners who recognize Jesus as the Messiah, who recognize the fact that they're a sinner. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We realize that to all those that accept the fact that they need a Savior, that Jesus came to earth to be our Savior. He, as John the Baptist proclaimed, behold the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. For all those who accept that gift, right, the greatest gift I would say ever given to mankind, that gift to you is eternity. Pure and simple. There's nothing you can do. It's all bought and paid for. What did Jesus say on the cross right before he breathed his last breath? It is finished, right? He finished the work. It is done. Now just live a life giving your heart to him, open the door of your heart to him, right? Be repentant of your sins. Follow his ways. Read the word of God. Follow the words, right? Seek his wisdom, his will. And when we slip up, he's merciful. He's a kind, merciful Father. He forgives us our sins. What does it say? The Lord remembers our sins no more. It's like they were thrown into the depths of the ocean. But that doesn't mean we live a life of where we live a life of cheap grace, where we say, yeah, you know what? I'm saved. I can do whatever I want, right? I can live this crazy, crazy sinful life, and you know what? God's going to forgive me. You may slip and go astray, and yes, God will forgive you, but you don't want to take that beautiful gift of salvation for granted. You don't want to abuse it. You want to live a life pleasing to him. And to that I say amen. Amen. All right. Welcome to NoBetterWay.net. Thanks for calling.
Hello there.
There he is, David, my son. Thanks for calling. Well, we're a week away from Christmas, Dave, and the title of my show is Jesus, the Greatest Gift.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times they can be distracted by all the glitz and glamour around Christmas. You got the trees, you got the presents, you got the family parties, you got the friend parties, and a lot of times you could get distracted from the whole reason for the season, right? Jesus, the birth of a savior, like what you were saying is we were totally doomed in our sins, and he came to do the work on the to save us on the cross. Like you said, it is finished. When he came, that was the awaited savior, the awaited Messiah that the chosen people had waited for so long. And he had come, and that's what we celebrate, that God made a way for us to be saved. And Christmas was that special day.
Yeah. I was talking a little bit about one of my favorite people in the Bible. I mean, of course, Jesus is my favorite, but Simeon, who waited so long, and Jesus promised that he will not, he wouldn't dismiss his servant till he could see the salvation, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, you know, and a glory for his people, Israel. And so Simeon knew that, that the time had come, and the Holy Spirit pushed, moved into the temple, and as he proclaimed, his proclamation, he said, at the end of what he was saying, he says, the child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce mm-hmm. your own soul. You know, so I was mentioning, Dave, that Jesus, he has a way, where our hearts, he knows our hearts, and he knows if our hearts are seeking after him or we're fighting against him. And just like in the time when Jesus was alive, right, the Pharisees, they sought to kill him. He was the Son of God. They sought to murder, and so what I'm saying is there's a lot of people out there right now that maybe their hearts right now, Jesus knows that they're seeking him. So this is a great time to take that beautiful gift God the Father has given the world, that you've got a heart that's seeking, and I mean, what a better time can you say part of your life on earth? Yeah, I gave my heart to Jesus on Christmas. Wouldn't that be, that's a cool story, ain't it?
Yeah, and it's, I mean, like when you were saved, you kind of asked God, hey, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And you had an open heart to whatever God was going to reveal. And I think the idea is that, like, who is serious about seeking God and God's truth and God's way? Who really wants to know who God is? Who really wants to love him and live for him? Or who just wants to make up in their own mind who God is or how God should be or what God should be for them or to them, if that makes sense. And Jesus is the promised Savior of God. The cross is the planned way of salvation of God. And that why Jesus pierces directly to the heart. Because when you say the name of Jesus, how do people respond to that? If people are open and curious about seeking after who he is, I believe God is going to honor that and reveal to them more and more the truth about Jesus as Savior. And in situations where people are proud and, want things their way or the highway, then it's different. So
yeah, it's no insurance policy, Dave, right? I mean, you just can't say, okay, I'm gonna just go through the motions, say the right words, and everything's cool, and I'm gonna just go live in my life the way I have. You know, there has to be a change of heart. There has to be a change, a slow, but I mean, some people it's like they real quick transformation, but there, you have to see that there's some kind of change going on. You know, people are going to see it. It's a miracle. Yeah.
Yep, and this the bottom line is that God was gracious and merciful, and He came to the earth, Jesus, because He loved us and wanted to save us from the sins that we committed against Him. So, you know, it's like, you know, the kids will screw things up, and then, you know, the parents take the punishment for the kids. That would seem like crazy situation, right? But that's what God does. He, even though we mess up, and when we mess up, it's against Him and His command, and goes against, it dishonors Him. He's the one that comes in and saves the day, because He's the only one that can save the day for us.
Yeah, yeah. You're familiar, Dave. I mean, I love some of these readings, the Christmas readings in the Gospel of Luke, Mary's Song, which is in chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, I'm trying to find a good spot. All right, I'll start from here. Chapter 1, verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. I'll read that again. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as said to our fathers. So I love that word. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. You know, and he has lifted up the humble. I mean, it's like this, Dave, this offer has been, you know, this great gift has been there for 2,000 years, right, to anyone that would accept it, this wonderful gift of Jesus. It's been since, you know, ever since the cross, 2,000 plus years, this beautiful gift has been there for all humanity.
Yeah, well, I think about if you gave me a gift and I opened it up and it's $1 million or something like that, and I'm like, you know what, if you really loved me, you would have gave me $1 million and a boat and a car. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't have to be grateful for a gift. You don't have to accept a gift. All right, I could just say, forget it, I don't want it, even though it's like be an amazing gift, because they forget it, I don't want your gift, you know. But
yeah,
I just keeping it real. Here's the deal. God loved you so much, He sent His Son to the earth to live a perfect life, die for your sins, and rise again. If you believe in Him, you can be forgiven of all your sins, and He loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. If you choose to reject Him, if you decide that you know better, like you're fine on your own, you're a good boy or girl, you're just going to live a good life your way. You're going to do it your way, but you're going to be pretty much good, so that God's going to step in and save you anyways, even though you reject His gift of His Son, either by word, by attitude, or with your lifestyle, right? So then you're basically rejecting the only way to be saved. So basically God offers you Himself, and He's the one that created you. He's the one that loves you more than anyone. He's the one that, even though you've screwed up and I've screwed up thousands and thousands and thousands of times, sinned against Him, and each one is a sin against Him, He said, I still love you, and I'm going to die for your sins. And to reject Him because you think, well, there's got to be more ways, I don't like this one way thing, or because, you know, you just, whatever the reason why, I mean, I just tell people out there, there's a lot of spiritual warfare. Satan does not want them to believe in Jesus. And if there's something, if they feel God tugging on their hearts and they feel almost being led by God in a way to turn away from their sins and pray to receive Christ as their Savior and to actually give them their life and not do the whole, I'm just going to live the American dream, but I'm going to do a little Jesus on the side as a ticket to heaven. If they feel God drawing them to himself to live for him, to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus, through faith alone, through grace alone, then today's the day to do that and to resist the voice of the evil one that says you're fine on your own. You can, you're a good guy or you're a good lady. You can do this. You're fine. You don't need to be a religious freak like these Christians. You don't need to give your whole life to Jesus. You can just do your own thing and then just be saved anyway. The reality is that when you think of Christmas, think about God coming to the earth just because he loved you enough to save you. Give him your life, and you'll never turn back and regret it.
Yeah, that's our, you and I, we always say that. That's the one regret in the world that you'll never make is if you give your life to, give your heart to Jesus. When you, that first second you die and walk into the throne room of heaven, you're not going to regret the decision you made, right?
Dave? Yeah, I wish I would have partied more with my friends.
I don't think so, you know.
And I say, I wish I would have been able to do those college parties more with my friends,
you know.
I wish have been able to do all those sins that my buddies were able to do. Instead, I gave my life to God, and now all I have is this eternal life of awesomeness every second for eternity.
No one's going to be regretting an eternity with God, eternity without tears, without sadness, without evil, without suffering. And the honest, the biblical honest truth is the opposite of that is hell, where there's no joy, there's no happiness, there's no peace. There's eternal suffering, and people don't like to talk about that because it's awful. But God offers himself through Jesus. You can be saved through Jesus, but through faith in Christ. Just believe he died for you and rose again and give him your life, and you don't have to deal with that eternity. But wherever you're at, if you're honestly seeking after God, you know, God is patient with you in that process. But do not take lightly the things of God, because in reality, you're created by God. And at the end of the day, what matters above anything else, everything else is going to turn to dust or whatever. But whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus, that determines everything for your eternity. So don't play games with God. That's what I would, you know, almost plead with people out there. Right. If they're not taking Jesus seriously, then it's time to repent of that and get serious about God, because he was serious enough about you that he came to the earth and died for your sins. And reality is, the reason you exist is to worship him and to live for him. So there's don't play games, you know?
Yeah. I like the fact that the gospel is simple. It's simple enough for a five-year-old to understand it. You know, it's not that God made it where it was complicated and you know, it's something, it's like trying to figure out some algebra, equation or something, and you're like baffled. It is a simple message, right? A message of love. It's a gift, and we all know, right? Deep down, we all know that we're all sinners. We all mess up, right? If you're a Christian believer or not, we all know that we mess up. I mean, just look back on your life. So we we're sinners. Now what are we going to do about it? And I mean, the Bible says, right? What is it? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 is through faith, through grace, right? And it's nothing that we can do. It's like Jesus did it on the cross when he said it is finished. Maybe we should read that'd be a good verse to read right now. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me plug it. Bear with me here. Because a lot of people think that they can go to heaven and brag about all their good works. This is the verse that knocks down anybody that thinks that heaven will be something about bragging about what you've done on earth to get to heaven. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and let's go all the way through 10. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. Here we go. It is the gift of God. I'll say it again. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, of course, as believers, we will do good works, but that'll be a part of our response, our love for God, for what he has done for us, the beautiful gift of salvation through Jesus on the cross.
If you're thinking that, if there's anybody out there thinking that they're good enough to get into heaven, you can't understand the gospel of Jesus and think that, you know, I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just trying to say that that's something that you need to continue to pray about and read about, you know, because if you say that basically I'm a good enough guy to get into heaven, then you're saying, what was the point? What was the point of the cross then? The point of the cross was that was God's way to save us from our sins. And why did God come himself to die for our sins if we can just save ourselves by being good boys and girls? The point is that we're not good boys and girls. We've all sinned. Mm. And anyone that's honest about their life, they've disobeyed their parents, they've lied, they've stolen, they've done all these sins against God and against God's word. And so they're not perfect anymore. And you have to be perfect to enter into heaven, into God's holy presence. And we've been stained with sins. But if you believe in Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you receive his righteousness. And God sees you as clean because of what Jesus did for you. It's like being washed, the sin being washed off of you, being washed as white as snow because Jesus paid for those sins on the cross. So you can look at it like this. One of two things are going to happen with your sins, your individual sins, every person that's ever lived, okay? Every person that's ever lived, something is going to happen with those sins because God is a righteous judge. He's not one of those clown judges that's going to, you know, just let a murderer go free just because he wants to or got paid off or something like that, right? He's a perfect righteous judge. He's going to deal rightly with every evil that's been done in the world, and that includes our sins. So when we stand before God, it's either we're guilty for our own sins and we pay for our own sins, or Jesus pays for them on the cross. And that's what you see, God's justice and mercy matching on the cross, because he doesn't let anybody get away with any sins, but Jesus is paying for those. So mercy and justice. God's dealing with all sins, but at the same time offering a way out.
So, David, so to make light of our sins, to make light of the price that Jesus, the Son of God, the price that he paid, it's nothing to make light of. He paid the ultimate price, right? There's no greater gift, right, than that someone lay his life down for someone. So, it's nothing to make light of.
It's just a matter of if that's something someone's struggling with, don't despair. Think about that more, what God did for you, what Jesus did for you. Think about it more, that your sins and my sins put Jesus on that cross. He died for those sins. Now, he chose to be on that cross, but it was all of our sins that he was dying for. So none of our sins are, you know, to be taken lightly, because Jesus died for those sins. And the sins of people that don't give their life to Christ, those sins are sending those people to hell. So sin's a serious deal. It's either you receive Christ as your Savior and you're blessed for eternity from God, and and pulled out of the fire of hell that you deserve, that is not something to take lightly. Or think about the sins of those around you that need Christ desperately and don't have him because they don't believe in him. Those sins are going to lead to them perishing forever. So sin is no joke, man. It's no joke at all.
You know, I just want to comment. I've only watched the movie once because it was just too hard to watch again. But Mel Gibson did a great job, you know, displaying the death of Jesus in the movie, The Passion. And I'll tell you, it made me weep because I looked at that movie and saying, yeah, he was dying for my sins. And the brutality of the cross was so real in that movie. And I thank Mel Gibson for that movie because it really made me appreciate what Jesus did for all of us.
Yeah.
So amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you should force yourself to sit through it every year though. Good Friday.
Yeah, that would be every Good Friday. Yeah. But there's another a new movie coming out, The Resurrection by Mel Gibson, and that's the hope we have. And 3 days later. Jesus, you couldn't hold a good man down. Jesus defeated death, right? And he rose from the dead, raised by the Holy Spirit and defeated
can't
death.
Can't hold a good man down, especially if he's God, right?
That's right. That's right. Son of God. That's right. And so, we've got this wonderful hope, and hope gives us the joy. And that joy of Christmas should be, most of that joy should be the fact that you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, and that's the greatest gift that God has given to humanity. And to that, I'm going to end it with amen. And if Dave, would you be so kind? I know I'm a little over on the time. If you could close with prayer, we'll just wrap the show up.
Sounds good. Heavenly Father, just thank you for the best gift of all, Jesus, and just pray as we enter into the Christmas season that we could. Be grateful for that gift. And I pray for those that haven't received Jesus as Savior, God, I pray that you will open their eyes and open their hearts to seeing that he is the true Savior, that he's the one that's come, that the Jews awaited their Messiah, and he is the one that was to come to save them. And he is our Savior. He opened the door for people in all the nations of the world. Any who will believe in him as their Lord and Savior, he'll save. He'll die. He died for their sins. So, God, I pray that people that do believe already, that all of us that do believe already, that will appreciate the greatest gift of all. And not only appreciate it, but share the news of him with others that desperately need him to save them. Mm-hmm. And God, those that have yet to believe yet, God, I pray you help them to continue to study about you, pray about you, think more about you, and I pray you open their eyes so they can see you are the true Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Well, you have a great night.
You too. Thanks for calling in, and hopefully I'll see you in a couple of days.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas,
everyone.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. So happy my son Dave was able to call in and made this a real nice, I'll call it my Christmas show. Jesus, the greatest gift. And thank you for listening tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit has moved your heart. I just want to pray that you have a blessed Christmas, not only you, but myself and everyone, that we just realize just the wonderful gift and the great price that Jesus paid. His death on the cross, his brutal death on the cross paid for our sins. And I want to thank you, Father God, for that wonderful gift. And I want to pray blessings upon everyone as we head towards Christmas, and we celebrate your birth and that birth that would lead to Jesus's ministry on earth and eventually his journey to the cross at Calvary, that paid for our sins. And we thank you, Father God, for giving this wonderful gift to us. And pray in Jesus' name. And may the good Lord bless you and keep you. Have a good night. Until next time, God bless. Good night, everybody.